This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Loki, Loki, you should really get to know me. Loki, Loki, you should really get to know me. Yeah, I know you got some things that you could show me. Loki, Loki, you should really get to know me. I see you looking at my body very closely, but there's a lot of things about me that you don't see.
Hi, welcome to Geek and Sassy. My name is Jennifer Smith. I am here with the wonderful and beautiful and talkative Miranda. How you doing, Miranda?
I'm good. I won't be talkative much longer, though.
Yeah, got to get it out while you can, you know?
Somebody somewhere wish one day that Miranda would shut up.
Was it Jerry?
I actually cracked that joke today. I was like, so my husband wished I would shut up one day. Too bad he's not here to experience that I'm shutting up. This lovely... So essentially, because I have had a few people that like know us very personally be like, oh my God, what's wrong? I realized we were super vague last time.
We were super vague.
I didn't, like, that was not intended. Jenny may have intended because she wasn't sure if I wanted to like tell everybody.
That's pretty much what I thought, yeah.
But like, I didn't intend to be that way. So we've had some friend of ours, which I was going to like tell on one of them. So our really good friend Bianca texts me and is like, oh my God, girl, you didn't tell me what is going on. So I told her and then she told Brad and he goes, why? Because she talks too much.
Well.
Which my reply was like, you're not funny, Bradley. But so I have to have essentially the easiest way to explain it. It's an arthroscopic version of TMJ surgery. Should they get in there and it need to be more detailed, because apparently the jaw is deteriorating, like the jawbone itself is deteriorating and the platelets that hold everything together, make it all work, are deteriorating. And the cartilage is obviously failing because of said interesting stuff. Yeah, I don't medical, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And apparently the right, what's my right is actually locked almost all the way closed, which I didn't know because it's in a manner that it affects like when you're chewing and talking and things like that, but not like the everyday movement, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, they have to go in there and just like shift and fix all those things. Now that means that I won't be able to talk well for a few weeks, and then after that I'll be able to talk, but varied on to what degree and for how long, obviously because of pain and it learning how to move the new way. And for 3 months after the surgery I cannot eat anything that is any bigger than like the size of a goldfish cracker in size. If it can't be cut with a plastic fork or plastic knife, I can't have it. And if it requires you to chew more than once. So, you know, when you bite anything, you chew one time.
So what the fuck are you going to be eating?
Apparently, I am going to go order a shit ton of protein shakes. But I can have, like, soup and mashed potatoes and, like, creamy mashed potatoes, obviously. I can have soup. I can have... I bought the squeezy pouch applesauces that have like all extra fruits and vegetables in them, basically baby food. I bought those. And then did you know Godiva chocolate makes pudding mix now?
No, I did not know.
I found it, and so I bought like 6 boxes of white chocolate Godiva pudding mix.
I'm not like a huge pudding fan.
I'm not either, but obviously I can't eat like chocolate bars or anything. And so I mean,
what about ice cream?
I can have ice cream.
Oh, there you go.
Now, like, the first couple of days, the ice cream might be really too cold for that. But, yes, I can have ice cream.
Well, initially, I was, like, kind of jealous because I thought you were going to get, like, super skinny. And now I'm thinking about your diet and I'm realizing that...
Well, no. Honestly, if I don't get so skinny, I totally fucking give up trying to. Because... I mean, honestly, still, I'm only eating, like, soup and mashed potatoes and protein shakes and, you know.
Ice cream.
Right. Which, even then, he warned away from ice cream for the first, like, couple of days. Because, like, the cold would be like, kind of intense for me.
Well,
but my dog is randomly growling it over here. Sorry. Yeah, so that's what we weren't trying to be vague about, but that does affect the possible recordings of anything that I was going to be guesting on, or our show here in general. So if we're not here for a few months, we are not going away, and we're not doing one of those like, oh, sorry, we're so busy.
Like you our know, usual like, thing.
Right, so we're telling you in advance.
Yeah.
That we may not be here for a few months, but that doesn't mean that Miranda and Jenny have done their, like, weirdness. It's that, yeah. So, because they do, like I said, they go in arthroscopically. I think I'm saying that right.
You are.
If that doesn't go well, though, or if they need to do a little bit more and get in further, they actually then have to go where the earlobe is, and they cut you on your, they cut you open there.
Ugh.
So if they have to cut me open there, then the recovery time is quite a bit more intensive than just like, we're going to do your surgery on Wednesday, and on Monday you won't be able to talk, but as long as your job doesn't require you to talk, you can go back to work.
Hmm. Well, I will hope that they don't have to cut your ear off, which is what I heard.
Well, they go, it's right in front of the ear. Okay. So they go in front of the ear where the cheekbone, like where your cheek skin, butts up against the earlobe, and they do it right there in front of the ear.
Well, does that require, like, plastic surgery to...
No, I mean, I'll have a scar. They explained to me, and, like, because where they're going in now is, like, right on my cheekbone, like, up higher, closer to the ear. And they just go in, he's like, there's two tiny little holes on either side of my jaw bone. And they'll go in there arthroscopically. And he did tell me that I might scar. But I said, well, I mean, a tiny bit of me is a little vein. And it's like, well, shit. But then the other part is, like, at the end of the day, it's you know, 2019. And there's so many ways that you can treat scars and take care of scars. That I'm like, you know what? Whatever. I'd rather not be in pain. So let's do this.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is at this point, so that's our. Yeah, I realized, so you weren't the only one that was vague, though. My mom did a live the other night for her jewelry business, you know, and I claimed an item, and she goes, yep, I got you, Randa, I'll bring it down to you when I come, and then she, like, goes, and she's like, and I don't know that she realized how vague she made this sound, and I guarantee you, I've already had messages of people, my family, this is because they're nosy, being like, oh my god, what's wrong? And I guarantee you, I know where their brain went the minute my mom said this, and you can tell me where your brain goes. So my mom goes, as she's bending down to like get another product out of the floor, goes, yeah, I'm having to go to Alabama, I'm gonna have to take care of some family things, and she kind of like didn't say anything else. And everybody knows that Jerry is currently overseas. So I was just waiting for the influx of, oh my god, are you guys okay?
Oh, yeah.
It was just so vague.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just take care of some family. Like, I audibly out loud went, Jesus Christ, Mom! Even my sister-in-law was like, yeah, she was super shady. I don't think she realizes that she was super shady.
Well, I mean, yeah, she probably just didn't want to say too much, you know? So just...
Right.
Kind of like what we did last time.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize it, but that's when I... Honestly, that's when it hit me. I was like, oh, man. Jenny and I were really vague. All right, we should probably clear that up.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm glad that texting exists so that we can still communicate.
Yes, I'll be doing a lot of that.
Caden gets a vacation from listening to you.
My mom is coming to stay with me.
Well, I'm just saying. That's grandma. That's different.
I know, but I have a look I give both of them when she's like trying to allow him to do something that I'm like, I am serious. Like, if I'm going to like be text yelling from the other room, like... I'm not kidding. I'm still your mom. Like, to his phone. Be like, try me. Try me.
Stomp your foot real loud.
I might. Oh my god.
Or just take a fucking break and let your mom do the shit.
I could.
Yeah.
I mean, but, yeah, okay, I'm enough like you that you know that you're going to, like, we say that, but.
Whatever. I could check out for a week real quick. But as it's been established, you're a much better parent than I am. So
that is not true. I've told you that's not true. It's just
no, it's science. I already figured it out.
No, okay, guys. Jenny really is a good parent. Trust me, she's a good parent.
Mediocre at best.
You're a good parent. Just because we have a few different principles. At the end of the day, Jenny and I have a lot in common with parenting.
That is
true. We have a few different principles. That doesn't mean that either one of us
don't have any
principles.
It's just getting through the fucking day at this point. All of my principles have been beaten out of me. All of you people who still have principles, what the fuck is wrong with you? Because I don't know.
You're funny. Oh my God.
It's late, yo. It's been a long day.
Sorry, I had to talk to Jenny before we could record. Here it is.
All right, let's be geeky for a minute. I can't even talk. Let me have some more lemonade.
I have unsweet tea. No comments.
Gross.
I can't help it.
So, we would like to talk about our regular segments because of the Sassies, very popular Sassies.
The only award show that matters.
Of course. We didn't get to talk about those things, so tell me about some things you've been reading.
Reading, I have kind of gone back to what I'm pretty sure is classified as, like, the cozy mysteries that I explained. I don't know. Several episodes ago, I explained the definition of a cozy mystery. Mm-hmm. Which, long story short, typically is a mystery series in which the murder or murders happen off-screen. They are also sometimes usually done by, like, a junior sleuth or, like, not an actual police officer or detective. And then there is usually somewhere in there some sort of, not like romances in like a romance novel, but there's a love interest of some sort. It may not be talked about very much, but there's some sort of that going on in there. And then there's different genres within that as well. So, like, you can have mystical or you can just have, like, a basic one. And I am rereading the Agatha Raisin series.
Mm-hmm.
Agatha Raisin was actually done for Acorn TV, the Acorn TV app.
Yeah.
Okay, so they did Acorn TV. They did it on Acorn TV, I guess. And then there was a huge gap in season one and season two because, honestly, there was an interview that I watched that they said that their American viewers is honestly why they are back for. They're actually recording season three right now, mm-hmm. and they said it's just, you know, amazing because of their American viewers, which I thought was a really big says something, you know, that there's that many American viewers into British, you know, television series.
Right. I feel the same way about Miss Fisher.
Yes.
That's an Australian show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it has a lot of international following that has kept it alive.
Miss Fisher is actually on that app, too, because they have more than, they have Scottish, British, Australian, New Zealand, all different shows. It's an amazing app. I recommend you checking it out if you're into anything like that. They're M.C. McBeaton books, Agatha Raisin series. Agatha Raisin is a early retired, so in her books, she's a little bit older than what she is in the show. But I watched the show and I was like, you know what? I want to reread some of those because there are variations, obviously, that work better when you're doing a 1 hour TV show of a book that's like a, for example, 6 to 7 hours in audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like 30 of these Agatha Raisin books.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, she's been writing for a while. But she's a early retired, like, she was a self-made in the PR business in London. And she did so well for herself. And I believe her Agatha is actually Scottish, the character. Like, mm-hmm. this is all happening. It's, like, in the Cotswolds, which is part of, you know, England, London area, but she's actually Scottish herself. Mm-hmm. So, she's early retired, and she was always in love with the Cotswolds because of trips that she went on as a child and stuff. It's where she felt happy. And she is kind of turns into a junior sleuth. Like, there's all these murders that, like, turn up, and, like, all these quirky characters throughout her little village in the Cotswolds that she lives in. And she ends up, like, was never a animal person, but now she has cats. I want to say we're up to, like, 3 at this point. And there's the love interest of the guy that was her neighbor that, like, she's really kind of really, she, like, purposely put on makeup to go check the mail in case James is outside. But everyone has a different, like, murder or culpable murders, and she becomes really good friends with, like, the police, the junior police detective guy. And they're funny. There's a lot of, because it's a cozy mystery, there's a lot of funny, and not, and there are lots of serious moments too. And somehow she always manages to, like, find herself in a world of trouble where her detective friend is like, Aggie, you're going to get yourself killed. And she's like, ah! And then, like, she almost does, like, almost every book.
So she's like a Nancy Drew, like an old ass.
Yeah, she's
Nancy.
Like, in the book, she's like 50, like, obviously well off money wise. Mm-hmm. So she dresses well too. And has, like, just, she has a keen observance for things, obviously being in PR and, like, doing the things that she did, like making people look better, making, like, she talks about in the book and on the show too, like, you know, I spent all this time making pop stars look better, making diplomats look better, making, so you obviously have to have observation of people and be able to read people. Mm-hmm. So it also comes into play. Those are also things you have to be a good detective. And so it kind of just happens that she ends up as this, like, junior sleuth. And she's pretty good at it. And she's actually better at it than the police are.
Of course.
Like, she ends up finding out information before they do, or that they don't. And I'm up to, I think I'm up to, like, number 9 or 10. So, okay, I'm up to 10 on my reread. So as of 10, this will no longer be, or as of the end of 10, this will no longer, when I go to 11, no longer be a reread. Like, 11 forward is, like, new territory for me. I thought I'd read higher up. I have maybe 11. I'm unsure about 11. But anyway, so it's a lot of new, even though there's a lot of new characters, because there's characters that I don't remember from the shows, mm-hmm. and I don't obviously remember reading them the first time. And then they, like I said, there are things that are different in the books, entirely different. That I think because of, it just makes for better TV. The changes that they made are amazing, but it makes for better TV, honestly.
Okay. Sweet.
Yep.
Cozy.
Yes.
Got anything else?
No, because, I mean, like I said, I'm on. Yeah. Which, I guess, have I given a Goodreads update in a while?
I don't think so. How far you got?
Did you ever set one?
No, I did not.
You should totally set one.
My goal, well, you know, I kind of started that Stephen King project, so that was kind of, like, loosely my thing.
Well, I'm loosely kind of joining you.
Yeah.
I'm working on one, and then I went back and reread the one that I told you was my favorite, mm-hmm. The Girl That Loved Tom Gordon. Mm-hmm. And it's still my favorite, but I will say that is a prime example of how a book can feel differently and you grasp it differently at different times in your life.
Well, that's the mark of a great book, though.
Yeah, but if you remember, I told you the very first time I read that book, I was probably Caden's age, mm-hmm. maybe just a tad, like, not much older. So, I mean, reading it at that age versus, like, now, I mean, I think I read it one time when I was pregnant with Caden, maybe. I reread it when I was pregnant, yes, because I ended up, like, taking so long because I was falling asleep because, you know, pregnant, but I had to pay a little due fee on it. Yeah. I bumped myself up to 75 books this year.
Nice.
I have already completed 28 of 75.
Not bad.
No, audiobook is a wonderful thing.
It sure is.
Which I got into the discussion with somebody the other day. We don't have to make this a deep discussion. I just want to know, yes or no, do you count audiobooks towards reading a book?
Oh, definitely.
And like towards your, like if you were making a goal towards your goal.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Do you?
I do.
Okay, good.
Because honestly, because of the way I learn, sometimes I can try sit down and try to read a book and I just can't, and I just can't. Mm-hmm. Like, I end up going back and reading the book later, but, like, I just can't, and I just can't. But if I start if I listen to an audiobook while I'm washing dishes or while I'm folding towels or even working because of the job I have now, I feel like I'm actually absorbing it because someone else that's read the book can ask me, well, what did you think about this part? And I'm like, oh, I know. Did you, that part where they, like, randomly had the cat tripper, that was just, like, the cake, which sounds really funny, but no, that's something I was talking to one of the Agatha Raisin about with somebody else the other day that has read them. And it is like that, just it's a small thing that you probably would gloss over, but in that instance, like having a cat trip that certain person was like, I don't know, it was just like great for that scene. So it is like, I think, depending on what you're doing and where you're at, it can, you know.
That's really just basically the only, like, that's the only way I read stuff anymore is listening. I mean, I'll always have something playing, podcast or book or whatever, so it's pretty much the only way I can do it anymore.
Well, like when you're taking your kid, you know, I don't usually listen to it on the way to school or like once I've picked him up, but like once I drop him off, like I may turn my book to run my few errands in the morning before I actually start work at home, or like, you know, on your way to get them, sitting in car rider line, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can still have your book and not have to worry about
doing the housework, like you said, in the shower, hell.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, even then.
Falling asleep too. Everything.
I have stopped doing that because I would wake, I have really bad sleep issues, so I wake up a lot throughout the night, and if I forget to set that little, like, sleep thing, I would wake up and it would be at a like really important part, and I would remember. And be like, oh.
You would get spoiled.
I would get spoiled.
All right. So, speaking of which, I have been listening to a book called Kill Creek. It is by Scott Thomas. I was taking a little break from the Stephen King reading project and saw this one. Just kind of, I wanted a haunted house story, and that's what this is. And the author is Scott Thomas, like I said, and the narrator is Bernard Cetro Clark. And so the story is about four or five main characters are authors, and they're all horror authors. And this rich guy who does these, like, sort of publicity stunt, social media type events, for movies and TV shows. He will, like, orchestrate these scenarios and then get a lot of social media buzz about those things. So that was kind of what he does. But his daddy's rich, and so he can basically just do what whatever he wants on a whim, and he loves horror fiction and these four authors. So he finds this haunted house, and he
like for real haunted, or like this is a suspected, like everybody calls it haunted.
He becomes obsessed with this book that he read that is based on the story of the haunted house. So he believes that it's haunted based on that. On that book.
Gotcha.
And it seemed like there's a swerve coming, so we'll see about that. But so the main characters are the four authors, and then they go and spend Halloween night there at the house, and he does like a live interview, a live streaming interview with the four of them, and he sort of like he sold it to them as like, this is going to help your career. And, you know, your each of the authors has a different issue. Like one of them, it has writer's block. The other one, the publisher wants them to tone down the horror of their book. Ooh. And another one is like a legend. So he's just basically like waiting to die, basically, because he's achieved such literary heights. And then the other one is a woman, and she writes this like really dark and gothic and sexual and kind of fucked up horror. And
so clearly he's taken inspiration from several things and people in the horror world, it sounds like.
Yeah, and he wants to bring them all together at this house and then have this live stream interview with them. But during the interview, he brings up all the bad shit about them and just basically buries them.
That's just kind of...
Right, so it gets all fucked up, and then they each have experiences in the house. Weird things happen. And then, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but after they leave the house, all four of them start writing essentially the same book. And they become super obsessed with it. And not until later do they figure out, hey, we've all been writing the same book. What the fuck is going on?
That is weird.
So I'll leave that as the teaser. So I won't go any further. But
So have you finished it?
I'm on chapter like 28 and there are 41.
Oh, wow.
So in the back half of it. But I've enjoyed it quite a bit. The narrator is very good. I really like it when the narrator can give a distinct voice for each of the characters. And not sounds like fake. Like,
but forced.
Yeah, forced. And so this guy's real good at it. So I would recommend that. And after this, I'll probably start back to Stephen King. Moving on to Misery, which I've seen the movie and
yeah,
loved it. So
I could definitely see where a project like Stephen King's that you decided to take, which is super cool, would be one that, you know, gradually throughout so many books, you'd need to be like, okay, I just need not a palate cleanser as in the sense of like, I'm over this, but like, you just need something else for a second. And then, you know.
Which I had been mainly listening to his books for a while anyway, so I
was
already kind of like in the project before I decided it was a project. So I'm several books deep, and so yeah, just taking a little detour there. Quick detour. Well, kind of.
I get you, because I know I've taken like a break, and I started the book that you and I were talking about the other day between certain... I don't remember at what point in the... I think I stopped at, like, book 8 of Agatha Raisin. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, I'm going to start over here for a second. And then we were both like, not right now. I went and did 9 of Agatha Raisin.
All right. So, what about any streams? You have any TV?
I would just like... to point out that for the first time ever, Jenny and I can't talk about CW shows. Well, we might be able to.
But a little bit.
I am ahead of Jenny, and I'm all caught up.
That is true. You have left me. You know, my travels took me away for a bit, so.
I totally understand. Well, no, like, I mean, honestly, that does affect, because you can't watch something before because you're packing, and you get home, and you're like, I gotta unpack and like be with my family and
Like I'm 2 weeks behind on that, but I am caught up on Legends because I had to watch that when it when the quote unquote mid season whatever.
So were you like completely caught like through this week on Legends?
No, I saw the wrestling one. That was the first.
You saw the wrestling?
Yeah.
Was that the first one?
That was yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. Which was great. I love that episode.
It was great.
I love all the episodes, but the wrestling, I was like, are they doing wrestling? I think they're really going to like... What?
Not that they're running together for me, but I think it's the one that like just came on Monday night. I really, really liked that one.
Is it the Nixon one?
No, maybe that was Monday night. No, it's not the Nixie one. It's the one that features a small Bollywood performance. Okay. And that doesn't, like, ruin anything.
Okay.
But that, I loved that one a lot.
Okay,
it has
yeah.
To,
so I'm two behind on fucking Legends then.
That's the I can just tell you because it doesn't, like, it's in the preview. If you go to read, like, what's coming, it's Jane Austen. I'll just tell you that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that sounds awesome. You know, Legends is kind of feeling that Doctor Who.
They are very Doctor Who-y.
Very Doctor Who.
I don't dislike it, though.
I don't either. Because a lot of what I love about Doctor Who is the sort of, like, one-off stories.
Where, yeah, like, you have that continuous story that's going on in the background, but every episode is kind of its own story.
Yeah, and so I feel like Legends is, like, always that, you know?
Yes.
Like, really the main arc and the threat or whatever, mm-hmm. it doesn't interest me as much as the sort of more character-focused
right.
and kind of zanier episodes do.
So I did watch tonight's Flash, and when you get completely caught up, or for anyone that has already seen it, like, I need you to message me because I need to know if you thought certain people's reactions, which is, if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about, if certain people's reactions were valid, like, and who you side with. And then I just want to say that, like, it was, like, there was a point where it was, like, emotional. Like, it was... It made me sad.
What are your thoughts about how the season is looking to end? Like, do you feel like it's been a strong season? Or do you feel like it's struggled a bit?
I honestly feel like it has struggled just a bit.
Me too.
But they just, as Jenny said earlier, cast... swerved. Well, not swerved everybody, because so everybody that's watched this far already knows certain things about Little Miss,
Nora.
Miss Nora. Mm. But we've hit a turn point with
okay.
all that.
All right. I see you working hard not to spoil things.
I'm trying, because I'm also trying to remember, like, what episode they start telling you some of the things they tell you, so I don't know what you've seen. So, yeah, they kind of start turning you a little bit, and explaining more of that, basically. And that may be the point where the season, because I know we don't have, but, like, what, maybe 4 episodes left? 5? If that.
Yeah, something like that.
Like, if that. Like, I know, for example, Supernatural, which does end a couple weeks before everything else, but, like, Supernatural only has, like, 2-3 episodes left at, like, total.
Total?
For the season.
Okay.
No, next season is their final
last.
Season.
I was going to say, I thought they had
which they're doing time. A full, like, run. They're doing a full, like, they normally have, like, 20-something episodes. They're doing a full run season. But next season will be their final season. So I'm hoping that maybe, you know how they've done in the past where they've picked up where there's only like 4 left and then all of a sudden you're like, really? You're getting so good.
Yeah.
So it's a possibility. I feel like Legends is still pretty strong. I know they just
Very.
Were gone and came back, but like, I still feel like they're pretty strong.
I've been real disconnected with Supergirl too. Have you been keeping up with it?
I have. I'm completely caught up. Well, I thought I was behind, but they didn't air Sunday night. So when I was like, why didn't it record? It's because it didn't air. I don't know. I will say, did you see the episode with the march?
Yes.
As I say, you would know if you did. And then, of course, there was... Wait. Because you said you're behind 2 weeks on Supergirl.
At least.
Well, they didn't air anything this past Sunday.
Okay.
So maybe you're only 1 week behind if you saw the march, you're only...
Maybe I didn't. Fuck, I don't know.
Maybe two. Anyway, this season's been iffy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not... I don't know. there's a lot going on at one time, but not going on at one time, if that makes sense.
Is it boring? Is that what you mean?
No, the March, it's the March episode, it was very, if you apply it to, like, current everyday life and things that we see often on air, TV, like, news channel, mm-hmm. it was very gripping, very emotional. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at it as, like, aliens versus, you know, like, actual, like, physical, like, from another planet, aliens versus,
right.
yeah, crap, what are they calling themselves? The children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. When you see it, I don't know, for a minute, it hits you in an emotional way that, like, it's a metaphor. It's also, yes, while it is part of the storyline and that happens in the comics and things, like, it's also a metaphor for now and in our past and just, you know.
Do you think it's a well-done metaphor? Or is it, like, a preachy one?
No. Well, I mean, some people may feel it's preachy. I felt it was subtly done.
Okay.
Because, like, to not spoil it or anything, but, like, James is taking pictures at the march. And they start playing a song that just, like, I don't know, maybe is what makes, sets the tone so much that made it, like, so emotional for me, but, I don't know. It was just very, that I thought was well done. Because it could apply to so many different time periods in history. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, something like that, of that nature, basically.
All right, well, I will definitely have to catch up on that then.
And then Arrow, I don't know. I really don't know how I feel right now.
I don't either. I'm real weird about it.
Well, because it's not the worst. Like, I'm actually, like, enjoying it, but at the same time, I don't like some of this back and forth stuff that we're doing now and this jump ahead and this, like, oh, by the way, we've hid more things from you for years and...
I like some of the, like, callbacks to the first season. I think that is pretty cool, the way that they've done that. But I think that, like, Oliver, you would think he would know better on certain things by now. Like, how does he keep... and I mean, say this as a comic book fan, but, like, come on. At some point, you have to, like... not wear blinders to some things.
Right. And then I also, have you noticed, maybe it's just me, there's less of him. Like, the show is called Arrow, but the last few episodes have been, like, he's not even been, like, on the screen. Like, more people have had way more screen time than him.
Yeah, they did that one that was, like, all set in the flash forward. I like that episode because it's Felicity heavy, which I enjoy. And
I do like that. But again, it's in that whole, like, we've lied to you about something else and never told. Like, poor William.
Yeah, poor William. That's
really how I felt that whole episode. I was like, poor William.
But I do like Mia quite a bit.
I do. I do like her.
And
this week was all about Laurel.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. And Laurel is kind of, like, amazing what they've done with her, because everybody hated her.
I did.
Us included, for such a long time, and sort of slowly, she just crept in until she's become, you know, not part of the team, but something that doesn't stand out as terrible.
right.
Which is a compliment, I think, for her. And with some flashes of some real interesting things, both from the actress and the story.
Mm-hmm. They hinted at something in this episode, too, that I'll see if you catch.
Okay.
Which, I don't want to spoil it, but at the same time, I kind of want to be like, didn't they mention a such and such show? Have they not talked about spinoff shows before?
What do you mean?
The idea of, like, other shows that would also go in line with, like, Arrow and Legends, and it'd almost be like a spinoff of Arrow, kind of, sort of.
Like Batwoman?
No. Like a Birds of Prey?
I don't know.
Was that discussed, or am I, like, imagining that that was discussed?
I think you hallucinated that. There's maybe a Birds of Prey movie.
Well, I knew that, but that's going to be on, like, the... Like, it's not even going to theaters, is it? It's going to just, like, the app?
No, it's like Margot Robbie and all that shit, right?
Oh, that's right, that's yeah. right. Maybe that's where I was getting it confused. Mm-hmm. That's right. I remember seeing that the other day now. Like, more in-depth sort of previews
yeah.
style thing.
I don't know if that's a Birds of Prey thing or just, like, a Harley thing, though.
I don't remember now.
We don't have any information on this thing that we're talking about, but...
Well, this is one of those, like, there's information, but it's... I feel like it's...
I'm too lazy to Google it at this point.
Well, so. My keyboard makes really loud noises, so...
So it'll just be a mystery.
We will get back to you on that one. We know it's a thing, but we don't remember all the details.
Any other shows you want to talk about?
I was going to talk about the Agatha Raisin show, but I kind of already did when I went over the book. I feel like there's more that I've been watching.
I had to go through my Netflix and be like, what the shit have I been watching? I don't even know. But even, one of the shows that I've been checking out is not even on Netflix. It's on HBO, which now that I'm talking about it, trying to decide if I've talked about it before. True Detective Season 3.
Well, okay, so we've kind of sort of talked about True Detective, but we haven't, I don't think you've ever, like, talked about it.
I think I mentioned it. Mentioned it. Sassy's, probably.
Yeah, I think we've, like, mentioned it in passing, kind
of
deal.
So, like, you know, Season 1 of True Detective is, like, one of the best seasons of TV ever. And Season 2 is a complete flop. But Season 3 was... shaping up to be more of Season 1 caliber. Fantastic performances. A really great story. It's a good mystery. They have this time jump component to it. So you see the same character in three different... Like, there's present day and, like, two past, maybe, I'm trying to think where we started at, I don't know, but they time jump between all three.
Hmm.
So, like, beginning of the crime, sort of like the middle part where it gets reopened and re-examined, and then, like, the end where it's already a legend. So,
gotcha.
Lots of jumping around, so you have to pay attention. So you can't be fucking around on your phone, Jennifer Smith, when you're watching True Detective, because you will miss something. You'll be very confused.
I'm guilty of that, but I have shows that I know where you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I know, like, this is not a show you can do that on, kind
of
deal.
This is one of those. And then, have you seen Abducted in Plain Sight?
Oh, my God.
But we haven't talked about this.
Jeez. This show is like fucking bananas.
Yeah.
I reached a certain point that I, like, if I'm not mistaken, I did not finish because I was like, how?
Yeah.
How on God's green earth are there people that are this naive and this fucking stupid? Like, and then I had a moment when I was watching it that I had a fire festival moment where you
yes!
and I stopped.
Yes.
And I was like, did that just fucking, what, did he just, and my grandma watched it on her and I were talking about it and she's like, I had a moment where I was like, do say what again, sir? And I was like, oh, that's nothing. Watch Fire Festival one.
Yeah.
I was like,
I think most people have probably heard of this documentary by now on Netflix. And Todd Weber on his show Binge Please talked about it with Jordan Duncan. So, you know, check that out. But I just wanted to get your take on it because I knew I would enjoy that. But, I mean,
my overall take is how are people that fucking stupid?
Yeah, and like I get it. It was a different time. You know, the 70s is really quite removed.
But when it... Okay, I buy that. Until you allowed it to happen a second time.
Right.
And then I don't buy that no more.
And I can't help but, like, be fascinated with the man, the bee guy. And, like, wonder what is this quality that he has to convince these people of these things and to...
Well, I mean... I'm with you because, you know, when they talk about some of the more famous, I know he wasn't a serial killer, but when they talk about some of the more famous, like, serial killers and, like, child abductors and things of that nature, they talk about the charisma they had and how, you know, honestly, like, I look at Manson and he freaks me the hell out, but I guess when he was getting all these followers, like, he apparently was a very attractive, like, at the time,
mm-hmm.
like, very attractive, very Bundy. Mm-hmm. Very, like, nice-looking, like many right. people had said. Like, well, he was so nice and so nice-looking. Like, so I'm completely with you on that one, and I kind of wondered the same thing, because clearly he is charismatic mm-hmm. enough mm-hmm. that you, like, you want to believe him, but then clearly in the same sense, you're working with people that, like, when you're watching them give the interview, you're like, well, you don't seem like I don't want to use the word dumb, but I mean, you don't want to seem...
Right, right.
I thought at first, like, okay, maybe we're dealing with two individuals that... Because you read the synopsis and you're like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, maybe you're dealing with two individuals talking about the parents of this young girl that weren't as educated or weren't as...
They were naive.
Right, but I meant further. Like, you know, there's those people that, like... Not a learning disability, but they just, like, they learn differently. They don't grasp things the same way, kind of. So I thought at first, like, is that what we were dealing with here? Mm-hmm. No, they're just extremely trusting and naive.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
And I think with, like, on the father's side, there's some, you know, deeply repressed homosexuality.
Clearly.
And then...
Hence my statement.
And then that feeds into the wife, too, because this man had an affair with both of them.
Yes.
In order to get to their daughter.
And they never said, if I remember correctly, they never flat out said that he physically did anything to that girl.
Oh, but I'm no, sorry. She did. Yeah. I mean,
did she?
Oh, okay. Yeah. She said, like, there was... She gives the number of encounters, I think is what she calls them.
Well, I think it's the parents didn't say. Like, the parents were like, he would go in there and lay down with her to fall asleep, tell them, you know, well, like, I guess.
Yeah, she said, you know, this is like what happened.
Right, and I'm like, I guess in the trusting, and then, like you said, things weren't talked about at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there were just as many horrible things like that happening then as there were now, but, like, people didn't talk about it,
mm-hmm.
and people didn't, like, teach children, like, hey, you need to tell someone, or hey, we'll believe you, or mm-hmm. so, but I felt bad because was it the dad or the mom that was like, yeah, he used to always, like, every time it was bedtime, he would come over, and he would take her in there to read her bedtime story, and yeah. he'd close the door, and we weren't allowed in, or something yeah. like that,
and
I'm like, hold the phone, uh-uh.
He had them convinced that it was part of his therapy for him to sleep in the same bed with her. I'm like, and
her right mind.
And then the guy does this swerve in this alien cover story. I don't know if you got that far.
I don't remember alien. I'm telling you, there was a point where I, like, was done and checked out because I was like, I just don't understand how we can continue. Like, there are how many more episodes left? Like, how are we continuing this shit? Like, how is it still happening? You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like,
So he kidnaps her, basically, and then does this gimmick with a voice recorder or whatever, and he kept drugging her, and so she was...
Oh, I do remember him taking her, but I guess I was so, like, just baffled, mm-hmm. I forgot the alien part. So, he drugged her and, like, faked it?
Yeah, he, like, he had a, like, a recorder, and he would somehow distort his voice or whatever, and he told her that she was an alien-human hybrid, and that they had to have a baby in order to save their planet or dimension or some fucking bullshit. And so it was part of her mission was to get pregnant by him. And if she did not do that, then they would move on to her sister, who is also an alien human hybrid.
Oh my God.
So she was just completely brainwashed. And that she fell in love with him, you know, through this whole cycle of manipulation.
Yeah. Drama. Sure.
And she admitted in the documentary how obsessed she was with him. And she told her parents she was going to run away and she was going to marry him. She did run away at some point. They flew her to him when he was out of state at one point.
But she was still young when they flew her to him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Super young. So, I mean, the whole thing's just awful.
You just handed your child to a...
Yeah. But she ended up confronting him in open court. And, you know, I think that was good for her. I think that being able to talk about it is ultimately very good for her, although obviously she is scarred for her life. And
the relationship, for sure.
The relationship with her parents is, you know, probably quite difficult. But I don't know. I think it's amazing that she told the story.
I think amazing she's not more messed up than yeah. what she... I mean, ultimately, you can't say she's not.
Right.
I mean,
she super is. But being able to tell people about it and, I don't know, maybe some good will come out of that, hopefully. Open some people's eyes. Or maybe some people went through... Probably nothing similar to that, because that's fairly unique.
That is a level I don't think can be replicated.
Right. But maybe some people that had some past experiences might be able to come to terms with some of that stuff. But it was fascinating.
I mean, I will give it that. It was also horrifying as a parent.
Very, very horrifying.
Like, I just don't... And even not as a parent, so let me step back.
Just like a human person.
Yeah, like, just as a human person. But then, like... As a parent, I'm sitting there going, how?
Mm-hmm.
How? Like, and I kept, like, talking to myself. Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's something else. I am watching... Oh, the other thing that I guess this will be, like, our little documentary section here, but something else that I watched that also reminded me a bit of Fyre Festival was the documentary about Elizabeth Holmes called The Inventor. And she was quite popular.
How was that? There was like a lot of people watching at the same time. I just was curious.
So just real quick about Elizabeth Holmes, if you don't know about her. She was like a 19-year-old genius who wanted to be able to invent this technology to basically get like a little tiny prick of blood and put it in this machine and be able to diagnose you with whatever kind of illnesses or if there was some sort of preventative screening. She wanted to be able to not have vials and vials of blood, like, drawn out.
That would be fantastic.
Right. So she, quote-unquote, invented the technology for this. And then she has a very distinctive voice. And it's very odd. I think you should probably Google that and listen to Elizabeth Holmes' clips and hear the way she speaks. But apparently she had that same sort of magnetic chemistry or personality that the dude from the Fyre Festival had that taught all those people all their money. So she did the same thing. But I think I'm a little bit more of a more altruistic point of view. Like I think she legit wanted to be able to do these things and thought that she could do those things. And like her goals were noble, but she,
like where we debated were his, like, did he truly intend to do this or did he truly set up to con people the whole time?
But everybody,
or you feel like hers truly wasn't a con from the get-go.
Right. Not initially. I think it just snowballed into that because she wouldn't accept that what she was trying to do was not working. Even though, just like the Fyre Festival, everybody told her, we can't do this, we can't do this. And it was just like, find a way to do it or leave. And, of course, nobody could do it. But she just kept selling it as a concept to, like, Walgreens, to all these billionaires. All these people gave her tons of money.
I mean, honestly, it sounds like an amazing concept. I'm here for it.
It is amazing if it concept. Can be done. Yeah, I mean, and that's part of the hook for the show for me and really for her. Because she dropped out of, like, I think it was MIT or something ridiculous. Harvard, I don't know, one of them. To work on this, and but it was all, I mean, not all a scam, but she wouldn't admit that it,
when it reached a point of like defeat, she just like refused to admit to it, basically. It.
Yeah. So that was an interesting watch, and she's a very unique person. She doesn't blink at all.
I'd read something somewhere that people, they'd never, like, come out and said it, or she'd never said it, or nobody, like, doctor-wise, but they believe her to be on the spectrum to some extent.
I would not be surprised at all if that was the case.
Oh, I wasn't when I did listen to the clips. I think somebody sent them to me.
And yeah, it was all up in our group chat for, like, 2 weeks.
Right, but every time I would, like, read one of those articles really quick if I had time, or listen to the clip you guys sent, I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I was like, my voice got all fucked up at WrestleMania, and it's not fully recovered yet, so I was like, tonight I'm going to sound like Elizabeth Holmes.
You do not.
Hopefully
you
it's not, not that bad yet. All right. I think that's all I wanted to mention. And real quick, I wanted to talk about this one podcast. It is called Unobscured. It is by...
Unobscured?
Unobscured.
Okay, making sure I heard you right.
It is by Aaron Mankey, who also does Lore, which is another one of my most favorite podcasts. And what he did was, it's a... like a, the season is about the Salem Witch Trials.
Ooh, I must find this.
So they do like a good like 12 episodes. They're all like about an hour tops, but fairly short listens. And it's like a real deep dive into the Salem Witch Trials, like all the circumstances around it, all the key players, just very historically based. Like, Aaron Mankey knows his shit. Like, he talks to the experts, and during the audio, while he's telling the story, he will put in, like, clips of the interviews that he had with the experts, and,
subscribed.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I really super enjoyed it. Not ever been super into the witch trials, but I really loved hearing this, like, highly historical perspective and all the context that went with it.
That's one of my favorite periods. I don't know why, because that sounds really weird to some people.
No, but a lot of people get super into it.
You know, the Salem Witch Trials is one of my favorite times. And, you know, they don't talk about it much. And it used to be in history, because if you remember when we were in school, they would actually, like, it's part of our history. Mm-hmm. And they would touch on it, but they don't do it so much anymore.
I think it's just become so fictionalized that most of the real accounts and the real stories of it most people just don't know those. And
but I think that's part of, like, when I was in school, at least, the teaching of it is that explaining to people that, honestly, there even then, a lot was so fictionalized that people didn't know who to believe or what to believe or, you know? Mm-hmm. That's, like, the whole, kind of the whole point, really, if you think about it. There was so much fiction and lies and mm-hmm. slander being spread that, I don't know, I think it kind of teaches some good moral stances, to be honest.
Yeah. And if you start thinking about the quote unquote witchcraft of it all, that probably knocks
it. That's the reason why Alabama doesn't discuss it.
Yeah, for
there
sure.
You go. Never mind. Sorry, kids, you go to school in the Bible Belt. We are not discussing any form of witchcraft whatsoever.
So that's a really good one. Did you have any downloads to talk about?
I haven't listened to any podcasts lately, to be honest with you. I did pick up, let's see, what was this one? There was a Hallmark podcast I came across.
Oh, shit. That's a good one.
There actually is, like, Hallmark podcasts. Because remember I told you I was trying to do that search for, like, I was Googling, like, cozy mystery. I was trying mm-hmm. to find, like, cozy mystery podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, by the way, if you know any, tweet them at me. Because mm-hmm. that's, like, a niche area that you think, because there's, like, all these podcasts for, like,
everything,
like true crime, and then for, like, romance, and then, like, you would seriously assume that, like, with the amount of people, because there's, like, groups and groups and groups upon groups on Facebook that you could join for, like, just people that read cozy mystery, so there has got to be podcasts, and I'm just, like, not searching them in a manner that would find them.
Mm-hmm.
But Hallmark came out with, or agreed to, so I think it is done via the permission of Hallmark.
Mm-hmm.
And these two young ladies have been on, because, you know, they have, like, a daytime talk show on Hallmark now. And they have been on there once or twice. And it's called Hallmark Channel's Bubbly Sesh.
Hmm.
So they kind of get together and discuss different shows or premieres of things. I want to say it's like a new, I can't think. They are currently promoting it as, like, the new and improved version, so I want to say maybe they went off the air for a little bit and are, like, coming back. But they do a recap of, like, the show When Calls the Heart. They do recaps of those. I don't know if I talked about it yet or not, but there was a series of new mystery movies that came on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, which is what I watched the most of, that had Ali Sweeney, called The Chronicle Mysteries. And they were actually super cool because they got the idea to do this via listening to, like, all the true crime podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the true crime podcasts that have been able to help solve crimes. Mm-hmm. Like, so she's a podcaster who actually has, like, a background in journalism and stuff like that. So she is actually doing more of, like, a live podcast where she records an episode and then, like, she's trying to solve the case. Like, she's, like, a junior sleuth, but a podcaster trying to solve it, put it all together at one time.
Gotcha.
So they made a TV or a movie series off that, and they've done three movies, and they aired them, like, consecutive Sunday nights, and then there will be more to come, like, later in the fall. So they did, like, a recap of all three of those at the same time in, like, one podcast. So they just kind of, like, recap different shows, discuss them, share their opinions. Sometimes they have, they will interview, like, for the one that Lacey Chabert just did, which is another, like, mystery one. But they actually interview Lacey Chabert for that one.
Nice.
So, I don't know, if you're into any of the Hallmark shows, either movies and mysteries or regular Hallmark, I think that this podcast would definitely be for you.
Hallmark is not really in my wheelhouse, but I do think that's a cool idea.
I'm
glad they started. Well,
and like I said, the Movies and Mysteries channel is more of my preferred,
mm-hmm.
but I do like the, like, little love, like, you already know what's going to happen, love story things that Hallmark does. They're cute. They're, you know, not that, I don't want to say, like, you don't have to pay attention to them as in a sense of, like, that makes it sound bad. But it's like, if you,
you can
get
play on your phone.
Right, you can play on your phone, you can get up to use the restroom, that kind of thing, and you don't, I mean, on occasion you might, like, because you miss, like, a glance or an eye roll or something that plays into what's going on, but, like, for the most part, within the first, like, 5 or 10 minutes, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen.
It's like the Harlequin of like, TV. Basically.
Yeah.
Just TV movies.
Cleaner.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they, like, they don't sleep, like, they never, like, sleep, quote unquote. They're, like, there's never, like, sexy times. Mm. They usually don't kiss until, like, way into the movie. The best thing ever is, I'll find it and share it. There's this older guy that's describing to his daughter, I guess he accidentally stumbled across a Hallmark Christmas movie one year. Mm. And, like, he kept watching it. And then, like, he actually kind of liked them. So he just kept watching them. And he's describing them. And he sums up, like, every Hallmark movie ever, basically. And he's like, so there's always this guy and this girl. I think, you remember I shared it back?
I was going to say, that sounds familiar to me.
Yeah, I shared it at Christmas. It literally is this girl recording her dad explaining how they work. And the dude is, he's hysterical, and it's like to a T. And he's right. And he's like, and then there's a glance from across the room. And he's like, and then he's like, the girl usually, or he's like, one of them overhears the other one. Or sees him talking to something and they misunderstand the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then one of them storms off or storms back to LA. And then the other one comes to get him and takes him back. He's like, and they're always in the Northwest or the Northeast. Why are they always in the Northeast? I don't know. Anyway, like, anyway, but he's right. Like, he sums him up. But I kind of like, sometimes you just want that to turn on something that, like, is predictable.
Right, yeah.
There's going to be parts of it that you didn't predict, but you kind of, I don't know, kind of like going back to a familiar book or
right,
going back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just want that.
Just comfort watch.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, I think that about does it for the first half of our show, and stick around for the rest.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place of Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceofNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place of Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceofNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceofNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. And we want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceofNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome back to Geek and Sassy. Miranda and Jenny here. Whoop, whoop. I just want to... Whoop, whoop. All right. Whoop, whoop. We're still awake. Whoop, whoop. I don't know how.
Can't believe it.
Right? So, real quick, to give some shout-outs to all the rest of our favorite friends at Place to Be Nation. Place to Be Nation Pop, of course, has a plethora of shows, basically, that if you're into anything, we probably have it on one of our two feeds. Just to give you a breakdown of some of our things, we have a new Songs of Friends, where Steve Kelly are joined by a guest, and they talk about Bush. to give you what's going on.
They talk about the band Bush, correct?
Yeah, the band Bush. I thought that was given.
All right. I'm just saying. You said they had a guest, and they talk about Bush, so.
That's what she said.
Right. I said it was late, and my brain ain't working.
Let's just be honest. Our brain would always do that. That's what she said.
You're right.
That's right.
Continue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So our wonderful friends Greg and Nick have been going in on an adventure this month over at the Hard Traveling Fanboys, and are still exploring Shazam. So check out all of the episodes there to get your Shazam knowledge in. I've said it like 3 times now, and nothing's happening. Damn it!
Shazam!
Shazam! Apparently, I do not have those powers.
Oh, damn it.
Right?
I listened to their review of it today. It was pretty great. I recommend that.
You said they have a also spoiler-free version review of the movie.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's very That's good. Hard to do spoiler-free reviews,
yeah,
by the way.
It was rough, yeah.
I've done one, and that was rough. Rough. And then there's they're breaking down where the non-NBA playoff teams are headed and are the newest NBA team podcast with that Andrew and Adam there. Of course, you have our wonderful Marvel Age crew, and they're moving into the first half of 1970. I hope they're not going to the part of 1970 that might get them abducted. And just saying.
They might get drugged and believe that they had to have sex with a guy because they're an alien hybrid.
Right. It is your mission, Marvel Age crew.
It is your mission to become pregnant.
To become pregnant. To save the human race. The tiny little alien embryo babies.
While he also fucks your mom and your dad.
Right. And I'd like to see all y'all pull that off because not a one of you a female. So this should be very interesting. All right.
Oh, shit.
All right. Anyway, so my favorite, wonderful, most beautiful co-host here has a wonderful show called Talk of Pop with our amazing friend Tim. And if I remember correctly, Jenny made an excellent trip and went to WrestleMania. And so they have a special guest on and are discussing all the fun, woohoo stuff of WrestleMania.
Yes.
That I don't entirely understand.
You will understand. This is like the cool part. Well, all of it's cool, but like...
It's like the... Is it like the pageantry and pomp and circumstance of the WrestleMania?
Well, more about the drunkenness and
debauchery. So it's like your expense... Yeah, oh, it's your experience.
Yeah, basically. Not a whole lot of wrestling talk. A little bit of wrestling talk, but...
Well, I mean, I kind of get wrestling talk. Right. I mean, I'm not a non-wrestling person. Right. I'm just not a... Yeah.
It's gotcha. A good listen. I would recommend it. Because I'm on it. That's why I recommend it.
Well, I recommend any show Jenny's on.
You should.
And Jenny and I are both going to be part of a really cool thing on Monday night that we're going to record with a bunch of other people from Place to Be Nation. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I can't remember who all is on there. I know Greg and Jenny and I, and of course Andy, but if you're also going to be on there, like, don't
Russell
kill me.
Russell and Tim.
Russell? See, you remember the other half.
I think so.
I didn't forget him on purpose. I just can't remember. There's a lot of us going to be on this.
I think Reish, too.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
So that'd be cool. And you guys can kind of participate. Audience participation is welcome and fantastic on this episode of Looking Forward and Looking Back. We're going to be doing a summer movie wager based on how well we think we can predict how summer movie releases will do at domestic box office. And you at home can kind of go with us here, and you'll have to also do that. And what you will need to do is pick the top 10 movies in order of how you think they will finish in domestic box office gross. If you need to Google foo all my crazy words there, you may do so. But you will also need to include 3 wild card picks. So it's like baseball playoffs. You got some wild cards here. Sorry. Don't know. My brain does weird things. And which one you think will be the biggest bomb of the summer. I'm just going to go ahead and say, if you've never heard of the movie before, most likely you can write it in as a bomb. if you'd like to participate, please send those to Looking Forward. So it's abbreviated. It's LFLBpop at Gmail by Monday, April 22nd. So that those can be gathered and correlated like we had to do with the Sassies.
What does the winner of that contest get, Miranda?
The winner of the contest gets to be on a future episode of Laugh in Theater and pick the comedy movie of their choosing, which will be watched. It's a live watch and discussion of whatever movie that you may pick.
And you should probably pick Monty Python.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I say, or Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Or that one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or that one. Andy would love it.
Love it.
Either one of those.
Exactly.
And if you've not listened to that show, I highly recommend it. They have a rather pleasing little, like, start to their show. It's a fantastic little listen.
Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Did you?
So, I like other things as well. I like shows on the wrestling feed, like Nate Milton and his crew breaking down WrestleMania 35 on a special edition of Chain Reaction. And then Chris and Devin also had the PTBN WrestleMania 35 reaction show. And then I'm going to plug Main Event, which is on the wrestling feed. And I was a guest on that show with pretty awesome people, talking to Brother Nate and Scott about the actual wrestling part, for the most part, of WrestleMania, so that was fun. And then JT and Chad returned with the new Wrestling Warzone as they finish off 1995 with a discussion about Starrcade and how great Dusty Rhodes is. And then they continue their dip into where the big boys play, into the vault, as Chad and Parv start to look at Starrcade 1987. And the Hard Traveling Fanboys have a really, like, a pod blast series on the wrestling feed, and it's called What If. This is the second episode, as they examine a world in which CM Punk does not leave WWE into 2014. And then check out placebnation.com. There will be some written things coming up there pretty soon, since Mania is over with, and we can start writing again, I suppose. I'm going to try that anyway. And then, even though I've decided that I quit with the candy tournament.
I have not!
I quit because Kit Kat beat Snickers, and I will just not have that, so.
Well, I will just have that. I voted yes to Kit Kat.
Well, we're done here.
No, we're not.
Okay, we're not. But that's ridiculous.
Now.
I love Kit Kat, but it's not a Snickers. How do you eat a Kit Kat? You break them off one by one.
What? Yeah.
What kind of moron would do it any other way?
I watched someone savagely open it and just take a bite out of it the other day.
No.
And for those of you who know that Miranda's face don't lie, so I was like... And they looked at me and went, what's wrong? And I'm like, did you seriously just take a bite out of the whole Kit Kat? Well, yeah. And I'm like,
no.
They're like, what? Did you want some? I'm like, no, because you're not supposed to share your Kit Kat. But that's the whole point, is that you break it off individually and you get that snap, that pop.
Mm-hmm.
And you could share it, but you don't.
Don't want it. There's only four.
No, right. That is not sharing size. Mm-mm. And I'm sorry, sharing size is not sharing size. This is the one time in my life that I'm not going to teach sharing is caring.
That and toothbrushes.
Mascara, toothbrushes, and my Kit Kat. Sharing is not caring.
We have hard and fast opinions about this.
There's another one.
Underwear?
I mean, I guess if you're desperate enough and they're clean.
Well, yeah.
And you know the person really well.
Like, really well.
Right.
All right. So, we haven't even mentioned what this show is about, But
the fun of it.
Yeah, it is 12:30 in the morning. But we're going to talk about the first volume of a comic book called Doom Patrol.
Yes.
So part of the reason why we wanted to look at this, for me anyway, is because the show that is on the DC Universe app, there's been like 8 episodes of it so far, and I love the show so much that I got really interested in the characters, and I thought, I need to read some version of this comic book, and I know it has a very convoluted continuity. It's very weird. So we picked sort of an arbitrary place to start. But luckily...
Well, yes and no.
Luckily, one other part of the DC Universe app is they have, like, a fuck ton of comic books available to read on there now, and this volume was on there. So I got to experience that. I read it all on my phone, which I've not really ever done before.
Like, I'm not a huge... We discussed this when we had Nick on and we did Jessica Jones, that I'm not a huge fan of trying to read comics and graphic novels on devices. Like, I need that good old-fashioned paper in my hand.
And normally I do feel that way, but there's something pretty cool in that app where they have this autoplay feature. So it takes you panel by panel. And so you can let it just play and not...
But what if I'm not done reading the panel because, you know... Well, I'm not a fast reader, but sometimes I really...
Well, you could just flip right back. Or if you did read the panel, then you could flip forward. So you can control it, but it also just plays automatically. So it's pretty cool. I enjoyed reading it on my phone, and I was surprised by that.
And that is another one that... cough. Should there be a... person that could ever... I know there's not. I'm just... This is one of those, like, you know, how we're always like, maybe Netflix will give us free Netflix. DC Universe people, if at any time you want to go throwing around some free, you know, subscriptions to the DC Universe app, I'm sure Jenny and I can find more than enough to review.
Yes. Oh, plenty to review.
I'm just saying.
A fuck ton, in fact.
Right. I like that description. Mm-hmm. There's a fuck ton of shit on this app.
I'm just saying, it covers all the bases.
And not the bad shit. Just like, hell yeah, there's a lot of shit.
Yeah, there's
not a lot. Like, oh my god, that was shit. Like, hell yeah, there's a lot of shit.
No, I super have enjoyed this app, and I'm excited to see what else they got coming out. And there's, especially with their original shows, because I love Titans and I love Doom Patrol, so... excited about it. So what do you know about Doom Patrol?
I had brief knowledge of Doom Patrol. Not an extended knowledge by any means. So reading this iteration of it, which I remember both of us, I don't remember. Okay, let me rephrase that. I know both of us read issue 1.
Yes.
I don't remember if that's when, like, you had already, this, it came out when you already began, like, when I was like, Jenny, and you were, like, already into comics?
Yes.
Or if it, okay, that's what I thought. I know both of us purchased issue 1, and both of us read it. I know you really dug it, and I liked it, but I don't remember why I didn't go anymore. I don't remember why I didn't go for it anymore.
Really, so, I think it was, like, for me, I liked it, but I felt like I was missing a lot because it seemed to have a lot of, you had to have a lot of built-in knowledge going into it.
That was one of the cons I was going to bring up about this, is it does have lots of references to previous Doom Patrol, like different various storylines and characters and such that either might not be as appreciated or might be completely overlooked by someone that doesn't actually have that knowledge or any sort of knowledge of Doom Patrol. So that was a little frustrating. I remembered the reason I grabbed issue 1 to begin with is... This is written, it's a team of writers, but it's Gerard Way.
Right.
Which, I think we talked about him already.
Well, he was the writer of the Umbrella Academy, is that right?
Yes, but he is the lead singer from My Chemical Romance.
Oh, that's right, yep.
Yeah. Like, super talented guy. He wrote majority of, I want to say he wrote, like, the whole album for Black Parade. And then he had his own album briefly at some point. And then he wrote, of course, like I said, Umbrella Academy, and then this iteration of Doom Patrol. So, obviously, super talented mm-hmm. dude, right? And that will sound seriously interesting, too.
I guess we should just, like, get into it, but I do remember specifically one of the main reasons I bought that first issue was the cover.
Oh, yeah.
The You're cover like, was really great. Mm-hmm. Because it's so, like, striking looking.
So I have the volume one is what I have. Mm-hmm. And volume one is, issues 1-6.
Mm-hmm. And this is the, 2016, series because you'll see a bunch of different.
Well, yeah, and it's called Brick by Brick.
Yes.
So it's Volume 1, Doom Patrol, Brick by Brick, if you're going to search for it because you want to order it or get it through GCF or something like that. It is Brick by Brick to tell the difference.
They sort of throw you in the middle of this, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they do.
And like I said, that it's a little bit off-putting at first, but if you kind of stick with it, and just go with the story, it will draw you in. Like, that's what I ended up doing to me.
Right.
Because I was like, I don't exactly know all these, because they just throw a lot at you up
right.
front. And just keep reading is my ultimate advice for these six issues.
Yes. It's really kind of wacky,
mm-hmm.
And it presents you a lot of characters and locations and even events that are very kind of unique. And the comic is very different, so let me go ahead and say some people may not enjoy it. Some people may not appreciate it. It was a treat. I liked it.
I did too.
Like
honestly,
you said, stick with it.
I was surprised because I expected to initially see the characters that I know from the TV show, and some of those characters do show up, but they're not the main focus in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You get this character named Casey Brink, and yep. she's like driving an ambulance. And she has a partner, and he makes it clear that she's very weird. So, you get a lot of people like just saying like blatant things, like it's very expository, and but I don't know, somehow oddly charming and not annoying.
No, I'm with you.
Maybe because it helped me figure out what was going on with all the, like, it was a very useful explanation of things, even if it was very obvious.
Right.
So he tells her, like, you're weird and you're quirky, so you could kind of tell that, because she has a cat,
I just love so
cat
much when
named
people...
Lotion.
Cat named Lotion, oh my god. Kept going, that's what she said.
So it's, I keep trying to think of like a way to start it. I don't want to give too much away because it is pretty great.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to like, I think that's what my brain is doing is trying to decide if I'm going to do like a spoilery free and then like do the how many geek and sassy thumbs kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. We're both struggling with this.
So, because it's like she said, she's not she's not normal.
Right.
But at the same time, like, normal. She seems, I mean, like, hey, she's just a normal everyday EMT driver. And she's not. And pretty quickly, her life's kind of tossed, like, upside down. And suddenly she's thrown in between, like, this ragtag misfit superhero team.
Kind of.
And an evil intergalactic corporation.
Because you gotta have one of those.
Right? Like, where would you be if you didn't have an evil intergalactic corporation? Maybe that's what that guy was reporting to. An evil intergalactic corporation. So they had to have a baby.
Oh.
Whole nother thought process.
Yeah.
But that, is. I mean, it works.
So she finds out that there's a thing that is in the form of her ambulance, and it is a character named Danny, which is... Go ahead.
No, I was just saying... yeah, I can't say that yet. Go ahead.
Okay. And it's funny because I knew a little tiny bit about this from the TV version because I just watched the episode where Danny was a character. And his, he was a street. And it sounds so weird to say that, but like he would attract these like weirdos and, misfit type people. Mm-hmm. And attract them to him, and then they would live within him. And that sounds very odd, but it's sort of like a pocket dimension sort of thing.
Right.
But anyway, I don't want to spoil what she finds out, because it's kind of great.
I'm sure that's probably what I almost said, is that she finds out she's a...
Yeah. She finds out something about her past and her origin that is related to Danny. It's very sort of meta and really surprising when I was like, oh, okay. We're not doing a great job at summing this up because it's very, very odd. Like, I've never read a comic book like this.
Okay. So you've already, I mean, we've established, like, she got a pet cat named Lotion.
Right. This is the most important thing you should take away from this.
She comes to figure things out about herself through Danny the Street.
Also an ambulance.
Also an ambulance, aka her ambulance she drives. She's sort of a sentient... Yeah, that thing. Like I said earlier, all the, like, not even the events and characters, but even the locations are quite quirky and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's an intergalactic version of, equivalent to, rather, of McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
On Goodreads and stuff that I wrote, like, I read this, they put, had to read twice.
Yeah.
Just to make sure I understood, not what was going on, but that really did happen, that really was said, that mm-hmm. I got that correctly.
Mm-hmm. There were a couple of characters that I did know from the TV show, and that was Cliff Steele. Steele? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Negative Man, Larry Trainer. So I know
which was one that I actually watched or read in a review somebody complained about. They're like, Negative Man? What the fuck's Negative Man?
It's very weird, because it's like, there's a negative zone, and so this entity that lives in the negative zone bonded with Larry, and so now he's Negative Man, and he, in order for them to remain bonded, he has to wear, like wrappings, like a mummy, or like the Yeti, if you know what that is. And, so he looks like a mummy, and he wears glasses, and, has powers, negative powers. And then Cliff Steele is a robot with a human brain. So he looks like, sort of like the Tin Man from Wizard of Oz.
Yes, but the things he has, like, hang on, there was something I was looking at that made me think more of, less Tin Man and more, shit, I can't think of the character.
Bender from Futurama.
Iron Giant. Iron Giant.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of that, too. Yeah.
Iron Giant is more, when I saw him on the page, is what I thought of.
It's something about the jaw part. And
it's the jaw, and then for some reason, those little, like, ear, wing, whatever things he has on his head.
Yeah.
Those.
But he has a human brain. And then in one really great panel, he gets hit by a bus, car, or something, and it just explodes. Like, his whole body just goes everywhere, and he's in pieces. And she picks him up off the street and takes him to her house. Which is a great introduction, I think, for a character.
Yes.
So Cliff and Larry, the negative man, are together, and they know, this is part of the confusing part, because I don't know the whole continuity of Doom Patrol. So they were a team previously, so they, it's not like they were just meeting each other. They knew each other. They had experiences together. They knew they were part of a team. And they were looking for other members of their team. Jane is one of the characters they were looking for, which I do know from the show. But this is a very different, a different take of, on her. She has 63 or 64 personalities.
And yeah.
So, and
I know you said two different numbers, but yeah.
Yeah. And 63. And okay. So those are her alternate personalities, and they all have powers. I don't know if all of them do, but a lot of them have powers. And then one of her egos is trying to do something nefarious. So that's part of what they're trying to do. Like, when Cliff and Negative Man eventually find Jane, they have to help her at the end.
So, for people like Jenny and I that they read this, and then there were some times where they didn't get the references or weren't sure about the references, there, I actually found a site, and I can share that. I'll wait and share it after our episode actually airs so that people understand what the hell I'm sharing. That it tells you this volume, which is what we're talking about today, is issues 1 through 6. What it references, and so it talks about, it's like issue number 1 -22 of Doom Patrol volume 5, and like it references like the older Doom Patrol. So that was cool, but at the same time, like, you would have to like really go back and read all those, but just to like understand it, because it is I don't want anybody to be like, oh, well, I'm not going to read it now because I'm going to not understand so much.
Right.
No, you can go into this having no knowledge of the Doom Patrol, because it was written as a brand new series that had very little ties to, like, the more recent Doom Patrols that were written before this one.
Mm-hmm.
It does obviously draw and is inspired by heavily some previous incarnations, and like we said, they mention them, and they kind of, you know, bring those in, but it's not so much that you couldn't read it.
Right. It's still its own story, and it's pretty great. Like, it's weird. Like, don't be in denial about that. It's weird, but you just kind of have to go with it. And just, there are some concepts here that are not, for me, typical comic book concepts.
Not at all. But as odd as some of these concepts are, and as weird and out there as some of the things are that event-wise and character-wise that happen, like, somehow when you complete this volume, surprisingly, is relatable in some ways.
Yeah, it is. It does have a... This arc wraps up with a really cool message. And I don't know how many... are there... This was the whole run? Was it just these six episodes? Or episode? Issues?
No, there is a volume two. Okay. I think what may be confusing is that, like, this one is volume one is the first six, and it's called, you know, Brick by Brick. Volume two, volume two has a different name.
And they kind of leave this, on a cliffhanger, too, so.
Yeah.
So, I was hoping that this wasn't all, because I really would like to read the second volume.
Volume two is called Nada.
Okay. It's not on the DC app. I will say just the first six episodes. Fucking issues were on the app.
It didn't have issue seven or...
Mm-mm. It stopped.
Huh. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I want to say... There may only be... I could be totally wrong. So somebody don't get pissed off at me. But there may only be two volumes...
That would make sense to me.
And that's issues 7 through 12. Volume 2 mm-hmm. is 7 through 12. I don't know if there's a volume 3. You know what? I'm going to find out if there's a volume 3. But I do know there's a... Obviously, a 1, because we're talking about it.
But, we just stall for time.
Right. Obviously. Obviously.
Anyway,
does not look, no, it does not look like Gerard Way's version has a volume 3.
Okay.
Now, should you Google or go into Amazon and search Doom Patrol volume 3, you are going to get, the Grant Morrison, you know,
right.
version.
So the other, okay, gotcha.
Right.
Something else I wanted to mention was the artwork. I thought that, the artist here is named Nick Darrington.
Mm-hmm.
Who I've never heard of, but I really enjoyed it. It has, it looks sort of like, some of the splash pages looked like more modern comics.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really pretty, very well done. But then some of the smaller panels looked a little bit more like an older comic book, like, the colors, and the not really greatly detailed faces in some of them. Like if it was a far away view and you weren't seeing the person's face very well, it looked a bit like something older, an older right. style comic book.
So it's consistent but inconsistent, but in a way that it's like, his quirkiness comes out that adds, like, a certain level and depth, honestly, in my opinion, to the book. That very much just complements the book overall, pretty much. And tone-wise, like you talking about, like, the different colors and stuff, tone-wise, it hit the mark for me. Because if you'd gone any lighter, it would have been, like, juvenile mocking.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you'd gone darker, we would have gone into, like, an area that I don't know if any of the other Doom Patrols go into. Of course, they're serious in anything, but this is, with its fun little unique way that it is. And we keep using the same words, like weird, odd, unique, quirky, but that's what it is.
It is. And the art was, like, really playful, really.
Yeah.
Like, kind of how the story is.
Not to, like, you don't want to draw it the way, like, the current My Little Pony is. That would be too, like, you're making fun of, or trying to be funny and not reaching that mark. And then if you went any more dark, it just wouldn't fit.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done. I enjoyed the artwork. It made me want to seek out any more art that this guy might have. And I really enjoyed in particular the way that he drew Cliff.
Okay.
I really liked that blocky robot look that Cliff had. And then just there was in the background, pay attention to the backgrounds of the panels.
Yes.
There's some really like funny stuff just randomly in there. And there's some sneaky good one-liners. Cliff has a couple. Casey has a couple. And really one funny gag about her leg that I don't want to give away, but I thought
yeah,
was
don't.
Pretty funny.
That one was good.
I
will say, they did notate that their colorist is different than their artist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you caught that. And she does an excellent job because I have friends that commission-wise either do the pinning part or do the coloring part. And watching someone's work, that they're like, well, I'm the inks guy. I'm the pen guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then adding that talent that a colorist has because putting the right rosy on the cheeks for, you know, embarrassment or heat or, you know, like, to display that in a panel is pretty important. Like, I don't want to say pretty important. It's very important. And you have huge chances to screw this up. So I kind of like what she was able to pull off here as well.
Me too.
Because it's dark when it needs to be, and then it's, like, super bright when it, I don't know. I just like to notate things, small things like that, because it plays to the overall story. Caden and I were having a similar discussion about this tonight. He does read chapter books. He prefers graphic novels, mangas, you know, I think where he can visually, because he's very visual, especially with a diagnosis as he has. Their children tend to be more visual.
Mm-hmm.
And he was complaining about a book that they're having to read at school because he was saying, well, the author is just so descriptive. She's taking just such a long time to describe this one thing, and I don't understand why it's so necessary. And I'm like, well, honey, maybe she's just one of those authors that does that. Because you and I have talked here about authors that, like, drag on and on and on, tell you the color of one thing or the diagnostics of another. And so I understand the concern. But I also had to explain to him, like, hey, you're not looking at a panel in your books that visually it explains, even without giving you that hunk of words, that bubble of words. Like, sometimes in most comic books, there's a whole page with no words, or, you know, a whole panel or sets of panels with no words because the artist and the colorist, or should they be both together, can get you what you need without giving you words. So I was like, you have to take the reason you're getting excess words to describe things sometimes is because you have to create that on your own now.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
There's a pretty great series of panels towards the end of this arc that did not have any words in it. And I thought it was really cool. Like, especially on my phone, like, with those panels, I could just flip, like, sort of quickly, and it looked like a little mini cartoon.
Oh, that's, I didn't think about that.
So it was pretty awesome.
What is your overall thought? Because I know sometimes you and I both don't like when comic books get too, or graphic novels or anything, get too wordy, so to speak.
Yeah,
like they don't have those panels that give you a glimpse with no words. So sometimes you don't have to say something to present, like, a powerful part of the story.
No, I enjoyed the words here because I thought I needed the information. So I didn't have any issue with the words. And, but I did like that sequence towards the end of not using any, because I think that stands out quite a bit in a comic book like this. And I was just thinking of something that I wanted to mention, and I forgot it. Of course I did. I don't remember. Did you know any of these characters?
Honestly, I would come across, like, Negative Man. I was like, I know I've heard of that mm-hmm. before. I think that one may have been just being friends with Kelly, though. Because mm-hmm. Kelly does have Doom Patrol knowledge. And believe it or not, well, I say believe it or not, like, nobody realizes my husband, like, read comics. But my husband had somewhat of a decent Doom Patrol. He kept having to go, I think, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. I'm sure, maybe not, that kind of deal, because it's been a long time for him.
Plus, I think I think this particular material makes you go,
maybe I did pick that up. That kind of,
because it's so weird. What I was going to say is that I can see that this is sort of the most recent version of Doom Patrol, and there's many other stories with them, and it did make me want to sort of go back to the beginning and start there.
Oh, for sure.
Which I think is pretty great for something like this to grab your interest enough to go back and read from the beginning.
And like you said, that cover of that first volume, because mm-hmm. yes, it's a comic, and I know you're not supposed to judge any, I'm going to be honest with you, you shouldn't even usually judge your comics by their cover, because sometimes their cover can give you like a pretty crappy cover for what the whole book is giving you, for lack of better words, because I'm like getting sleepy. But that one was, I don't know, when I saw it on the shelf, it just kind of like stands out at you.
It does, yeah. It has like, boom. Very gripping image there. It's right? Weird.
Makes you hungry for a second.
It sure does. I'm hungry now. And
I'm eyeballing this Reese's peanut butter egg.
Oh, shit. Why did you say that?
I'm sorry. I mean, if I gotta be hungry, then you gotta be hungry with me.
I made a salad tonight, and I didn't even eat it.
I got Panera.
All right, so anything else you want to say about Doom Patrol?
I wish we could have given you spoilers, because there are things that I would have liked to maybe kind of sort of talk about, but I feel like this is one of these books, and Jenny and I, when we do reviews like this, we actually don't talk to each other about the other one's feelings mm-hmm. before we do them, and then we kind of have to wing it with, like, are we spoiling this or not? I think the decision to not spoil it was a pretty good one, even though it was written in 2016, which surpasses the MI an asshat for spoiling.
That is true.
Right. It's like, you're good.
But also, I do really want people to read this, so...
Right, but that's what I was going to say. In the same sense, this may not be one that... I know we have followers that probably, definitely without question, have read this. But we may that have never read this, and I would like to pick them to pick it up. Because who knows, maybe this they've never read any comic, but they decide to pick this one up, and then they become like Jenny, and I'm looking at their... pull list going, I need to check myself. Miranda had to check herself recently, too. Yeah. It was like, oh, boy. Well, a bunch of things that, like, had stopped, like, for whatever reason. Like, I thought they were, like, over. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden, and these are, like, Cade comics, too. All of a sudden, either they have, like, new stuff, and so, because of the title, like, we're getting it again. And I'm like, whoa. I can't handle all this. So,
yeah, I would say definitely two thumbs up for me.
Two thumbs for Jenny.
It was a fun read. It was a quick read. Good art, good story, weird stuff.
Visually pleasing, reader-wise, literary pleasing. I would also give it two thumbs. And I'm holding the book. Oh, my God. Once again, I'm holding the book up and, like, Vanna Whiting it, like, everyone
like in can see it.
Geek and Fashion Land can see me.
Well, they just imagine that anyway.
That's true. Long story short, though, remember, we do know people that podcast, they actually do because it's like their only time to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. So they do actually like full on Skype call each other, and then we might try that one day.
Yeah, maybe.
And then we're both like, yeah, maybe not. I don't know. So yeah, 4 thumbs total. Go check it out. Volume 1 of Doom Patrol, Brick by Brick by Gerard Way. This is brought to you by, I believe it's a DC's Young Animal, if you get all, like, precise.
Yeah.
I highly recommend either DC Universe apping it, because then there's, like, a whole, like we said, fuck ton of shit
to read
that you
on
can
there.
Enjoy on that app. Once again, no, we are not paid by that app. Or given free product, but we would gladly accept your free product, and then we'll continue to tell you how amazing that app is, DC. Just saying.
All right. So I think it's about that time. What time is it, Miranda?
Welcome to Geek and Sassy, where currently it is time for Nerd Eye Candy of the Moment.
Well done.
Jenny loves ASMR, also referred to as Miranda's... Shit, I just...
What's
that channel?
NPR.
NPR, yeah. Mm-hmm. That is Miranda's ASMR NPR voice that Jenny gets tickled at every single time.
I do.
Oh, this is the part of the show that, like, we're trying to be all nice and, like, slow it down, and then we get super excited about our... picks, and so I slow it down for like a millisecond. So, question.
Yes.
Thought about this hard, because earlier I realized I had not picked my Nerd Eye Candy. And so I'm sitting at the red light, because I'm bringing dinner home, and I go, I know who I'm going to pick. And I got super giddy and excited, and then my brain went, time out. You've picked him before. Pretty early in the career of Geek and Sassy, but nonetheless, I picked him. And I know at one point someone asked us, what would you do if one of you picked somebody that had already been picked? And we said, well, that's not happened yet. So we don't know. So, to establish rules and to let our listeners know what these rules are to hold us to some sort of accountability.
Good luck.
Some sort. Right? Anyway.
Given our rules of the sassies that we did not even follow.
Yeah, but we made them.
Right.
Tell me, anyone who wants a recount, you're not getting it. But you can complain and tell me you want a recount. In which case, I don't know. I might be nice. Anyway. Thought processes from you there. What are your opinions on a Nerd Eye Candy being a not sassy related or special, like, hey, lifetime achievement or like special reason why we would talk about that person again? Would you allow them to be chosen a second time?
I feel like they can be chosen a second time as long as it's the other person who chooses them. So I can pick one of your picks and you can pick one of my picks. I mean, our tastes are not super similar, so I don't see this happening very much.
Although you say that, and remember there was one Geek and Sassy's happened one time so far. Well, we can kind of count the sassies as a second time, but that one was a, like, planned on decision. But there is one time that, once again, we don't tell each other, and we pick the same person.
Right.
And usually we both appreciate the other one's picks. But you're right. Like, for sure. Overall, we don't have the same taste, but we do have people that, like, we have similar feelings about. Or maybe I feel stronger or you feel stronger. So, okay. I'm good with that.
All right.
Because I think we may have done that already and just not
acknowledge it?
Acknowledge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe so. I found it hard to remember what I picked anyway. So
we did make a joke that we should do like a almost like you couldn't do it like a bracket. So I'm not talking, although I just had a light bulb. Miranda just had an idea for a future episode. But Jeannie and I mentioned briefly, like, setting up a board where you could, like, put the person's name and, like, Miranda's picked this person. These are all Jeannie's picks. And then just, like, keep adding to it. Mm-hmm. We know it would be super fun to do. Kind of like what we're doing on Looking Forward, Looking Back, and, like, some of the other draft things that you guys have done. We should do a draft slash bracket of all the previous Nerd Eye candies, I think, at some point. And we'll do it, like, every so often. We shouldn't do it every year, because then that would, like...
No, I'm good for this. I'm down for this idea.
One
of us would have to go back and listen to all of the Nerd Eye candies.
Well, you just go to the end of every episode. Well, and so, okay, here's the other thing. I have a notebook, you have a notebook, and between the two of us, I'm sure, because not every episode do I write all my stuff down, I'm just going to be honest, and you're the same, but I'm sure between the two of us, we can get almost all of them from all of our previous episodes to figure that out.
Well, I don't always write them down, but sometimes I do.
Well, sometimes I come up with them on the end, but I'm pretty good about, if I have done written that I keep in front of me, that I add it to it. But, yeah. So, idea. And maybe we even get someone to join us so that when we have our discussions and we can help.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Have somebody be like...
Somebody okay. Like Tim Capel, perhaps.
Ooh. He would be a good sound voice.
I think so. All right. So moving
stay
on.
Stay tuned. You may get a Nerd Eye Candy bracket to fill out, people.
All right, here we go. I think this is funny that we're talking about this because I'm pretty sure that you've picked this person before. But I'm going to go with Zachary Levi. And I did that because I saw him in the Shazam movie.
And he made you want to go, hallelujah!
And he's like... He was, whew.
Oh, my God. You know what? The only complaint I will have about Zachary Levi and Shazam, they got rid of his gray hair that makes him, like, also fine.
Yeah. I would prefer gray hair. But you can't have outside of.
Well, no, somebody, I said this, right? And my friend Blake said, and I said, damn, they should have let him keep his hot gray hair. And Blake brought up a good point. He said, yeah, okay, I understand that, like, the women that swoon over him, because, I mean, and obviously we're all of a certain age, so, like, our husband boyfriends and stuff are all starting to, like, gray. So we find that, like, super, like, attractive, I guess is what it is. I don't know. Because we're aging, so we find... Anyway. Blake said he buys what I'm saying and gets it, but the reason he thinks that he does not... And because technically he turns into what Billy Batson's brain and his brain has like as the idea picture of
right.
What an adult superhero would look like. And obviously you would make yourself look
young.
Very appealing. Yeah. And well, not just young, but like they're going to look nice. Mm-hmm. So that's maybe Billy. He said that's his reasoning for him not having the gray hair, Sam.
That makes sense. I'm good with that. But I thought that Zach was in fantastic shape, and I thought he was super funny and super cute, and now I have a huge crush on him.
I've always had a huge crush on him.
He's great.
An excellent choice.
All right. Who'd you go excellent with?
This is super hard. Like, I don't know if I've ever said that. Like, I think usually I always have a pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm the one always scrambling for my right? pick. For sure.
But.
Are you going to pick that guy from Abducted in Plain Sight?
I almost just grew up a little. to stop.
I'm real like, tired.
On that one.
I'm kidding.
That is funny. That is funny. But no.
Can I lay down while I podcast?
I see no reason why you couldn't.
Okay, good.
We're almost done.
So if I start snoring, just wake me up. Like, right?
We're giving you another long one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
just like I like it.
I was waiting for you. I thought you were going to say it, but you didn't. I laughed anyway because I thought you were. I'm going to go with a specific, I'm going to go with a character, but fine-tune it to a specific scene in an episode.
Okay.
Okay. So, I don't remember the guy's name that is currently playing Nightwing. Or Robin. He's Robin.
Brandon something? Brandon Thwaites or something like that. Brendan?
Yeah. And he's been in something else I've seen before, but he's still, like, fairly new.
Yeah.
He's a new young name. Right. But I want to take, in episode one, in the alley.
Yeah.
Like, I looked at Kelly and I was like, oh my God, he's bad.
Yeah, he fine.
And like, I was having like a, whew, like, is that a, I don't know.
Everybody on Titans is hot, for sure.
But like, it's in that moment, like, he's cute. Because I even looked at Kelly at one point, and I'm like, oh, he's cute. And he reminds me, if you remember when they started Flash, mm-hmm. Grant Gustin was obviously much younger. Right. Grant Gustin's a nice-looking man.
Yes.
But he was much younger, and he's a naturally baby-faced guy mm-hmm. at that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you remember back to, like, season one, he was, like, really young.
Yeah.
And then he pops on the scene, and you're like, he's a CSI, how old is he? So, like, he pops in, and I'm like, how old is he supposed to be?
They do a favor, now that I think about it.
Well, it's just the comparisons of the fact of, like, they're treating him like he's closer to 30 because mm-hmm. it's like, hey, Detective so-and-so. But he looks like he's, like, barely old enough to drink, mm-hmm. if he's even old enough to drink.
Yeah, I think I questioned his age at one point.
I didn't know I did. But yeah. Then that scene in the alley where he's, like, kicking the shit and they're mm-hmm. like, oh, just, and they even crack a joke about, like, he's here without the bat. Mm-hmm. Just and then he lets loose and I'm like, holy shit.
I think I remember, like, him breaking somebody's arm and very...
He does.
Yeah, that was awesome.
He does. And then when you, like, know why he's there, he's actually only there for one guy.
Mm-hmm.
But they all want to, like, get up in it and start trouble and think mm-hmm. they can crack jokes about him being one man and that he just beat all of them's ass. Without the Batman, by the way. Yeah. So.
All right.
Oh, speaking of Grant Gustin.
Yes.
So our Mexican restaurant has hired some new, I think it's family of, there's a girl that's married to one of the younger gentlemen. And I think it's like her brother or something that just got recently hired. And I think the kid probably thought I was some weirdo, like, cougar lady. Because every time he came to the table, I had to, well, I mean, it could happen,
mm-hmm.
but like after, like when I need my second husband for like looks and money,
mm-hmm. right?
Well, wait, I got looks from my husband and like, I don't really need that much more money. I'm good. Folks, I'm never getting married a second time. It's good. My husband has to live with me till like one or both of us die. And if I die first, I'm going to haunt him so he can never get married again.
All right.
So, anyway, this kid, I kid you not, and I was there eating after Caden's performance the other day with a friend whose daughter also performs in their choir group, and I looked at her, and I was like, okay, I've looked at him pretty hard, like, 5 times, and I think he thinks I'm a creeper, but I was like, when he turns away from this table up here, look at him again, and she's like, okay, what am I looking for? Like, he looks like a young Grant Gustin.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and went, oh my God. So, I may have to ask him. No, I'm just curious if he's ever heard that before. So, I may have to, it got real busy at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I may be asking the little waiter at the Mexican restaurant here, has anybody ever told you favor Grant Gustin?
What you need to do is take a selfie with him and put it on the Geek and Sassy Facebook
page. Well, no, I will then ask him. I'll be like, hey, you favor Grant Gustin, and this may sound really weird, but, like, can we get a picture with you so we can, like, so I could show my friends that I was like, hey,
so I could put it on the internet and judge you?
Right? Or if I could remember his name, I guarantee you I could find him super quick. Oh, that sounds sure. really creepy, but I mean, hello. Everybody knows how to Facebook stalk. Duh. Wouldn't like stalk him. It would just be for solely showing you guys, like, seriously, he really favors like a young Grant Gustin.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see it.
Right. And on that note.
On that note.
Jenny and Miranda are falling asleep, are delirious, and would
super
now
delirious.
Reese's eggs and Mexican food.
Struggling. I'm hungry. What am I going to do? Sleep or eat?
I'm going to eat a bowl of cereal and then sleep.
I might fall asleep in the cereal.
I don't want to die because I drowned in milk.
Yeah, that would fucking suck. Like, that's a horrible way to
And die. I've had really horrible luck here lately.
Yeah, so. You're, that is true. You don't take any chances, okay?
Right? Me and my black eye will just go on to bed. And that's a story for another day, ladies.
Sure
and
is.
So you can always find me at the Twitter and the Instagram at Mom's Nerd. On the Facebook, we are Geek and Sassy. And Jenny is always at, tell Jen.
I'm at Jenny Cruz 2814. And Geek and Sassy is also on Twitter. And I think that's all.
Not all the things. Well, the major ones that people like us old folks are on. So that would be your Holy Trinity, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
All right. All right. Well, at 1:25 a.m., that is going to do it. Thank you for listening.
And I think you're welcome for me talking this time.